catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Playoffs? Did somebody say playoffs?
The NBA, MLB, and NHL are in full swing, and our partners at BetOnline have you covered.
Bro, I think I'm putting my money on LeBron James. I hope he wins it. Let's go, Lakers.
Nice. So take full advantage of sports being back and get in on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there's always an online casino as well. It never closes, Benny.
Well, so head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today.
Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to BSI, the podcast with Benny Stillhauer, Pauzy Joe, and Arco Para. Enjoy!
That's your star player that you just hurt because you don't know what the hell you're doing, you know? Those are the kind of things that was me right out of the gates in television. So the first thing that Brian says, and I couldn't restrain myself, he goes, I think you're right, Bruce. Ziggy shits, I mean.
And now we continue with Eric Winalda, part two.
All right, let's get into Sound 60. All right, so it's going to be a this or that, and you just got to answer as quick as possible, okay?
And the record is 22, so like if I think too fast and I answer that, like it doesn't matter what the answer is, it just matters.
Obviously you're going to answer what you think is.
Give me an example. Like give me a question.
Coke or Pepsi, and then you're going to answer whatever you think is best. So Sal, don't use that one again.
Yeah. For the fifth time.
The Coke. But you know, I'm looking for sponsors too, guys. Don't screw that up.
Yeah, so there you go. You decide whether you want the Coke or the Pepsi sponsor. The other one can have both anyways, right?
It's not what I want. It's what they want. Let's face it.
That's true. All right, let's go. Benny, it's like Family Feud, right?
So Family Feud, if you've ever watched Steve Harvey, he will allow Sal to start the first question. As soon as he finishes the first question, I'm going to give 1 minute, okay?
I'm with you.
Don't worry about the timer. I got it for you.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
Simpsons or South Park?
Oh, Simpsons.
Breakfast or dinner?
Dinner.
Monopoly or Scrabble?
Scrabble.
Passenger or driver?
Driver.
Scary movie or comedy?
Comedy.
Ice cream or donuts?
Ice cream.
Jogging or hiking?
Jogging.
Fox or ESPN?
Fox.
California or Nevada?
California.
Ballet or dance?
Dance.
Hamburger or burrito?
Burrito.
Pancake or waffle?
Waffle.
Brutally honest or sugar-coated?
Honest.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Music or podcast?
Music.
Serious or funny?
Serious.
Bowling or mini golf?
Bowling.
Sauerbrochen or a Bochum?
Sauerbrochen. Emma.
Pretzels or chips?
Pretzels.
Wine or beer?
10 seconds.
Wine.
Theme park or water park?
Water park.
Fishing or kayaking?
Fishing.
Bruce Arena or Bob Bradley?
Bob Bradley.
Unicorns or rainbows?
Unicorns.
Time's up. Time's up. I think he did it. Did he break it? That seemed like more than 22.
That seemed like, here, I can count it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Speaking of, are you sure you prefer Nevada over California? Was it your house?
No, he said California.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. But sorry. That's what I meant. California over Nevada. Was it 24. Your house
for tax purposes.
But your house got burned down.
I know.
That was crazy.
I stayed there. The damn thing wasn't a pile of ashes right now. I love that house. I love where I grew up. I mean, I think most people in LA, where you grow up is home, man. It's where you go. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's where you want to be on those 2 days. It's usually that's what home is. So that'll always be Southern California.
24, new record. Eric Winalda on top of the list.
There it is. Chris Duvall no longer going to win. You might get like a – some swagger.
Gear,
stuff.
Yeah.
Aren't we sending some
swagger? Happy with my answers too. I'm happy because, like, as soon as you said ice cream donuts, I was already saying ice cream before, regardless of what you said. I was already jumping the gun there. All right. New record. Love it.
Well done. All right, hey, let's get into a little bit of soccer, dude. Like, when you actually played, you know, none of this coaching stuff. When you actually played, what was highlight of your career? Like, what do you look back on and people talk about or you think about? What's the number one moment for you?
Well, it was literally after we beat Colombia in the 1994 World Cup. And we were running around the field with, you know, flags, and we won a World Cup game, you know, and, you know, that is 37 miles away from where I grew up, Pasadena. I had so many friends and family in that deal. And it was so funny because, of course, Bora ruined the moment. It was so hot, guys. I took my socks and shoes off and I was running around barefoot in the Rose Bowl with an American flag, having the greatest day of my life. And Bora just looks at me and goes, "So unprofessional, you and your milk." And it's the only time I just said, "F off." It was great. And he laughed. I wasn't going to let somebody take that moment away. But that really was. I mean, the locker room after we beat Argentina 3-0 in Copa America was special. Diego Maradona came in there. Some of the guys don't even remember that. It blows me away that Sorber's like, "I don't remember that." Because you didn't pay attention, man. He was this big and he walked right past you. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Right.
But there was a couple of moments in there. I think if that's one and two, the third one was my first goal in the German Bundesliga. As an American, the first American ever to break in, there was a lot of pressure, a lot of whatever. And my parents flew in for that deal in Saarbrücken. My dad and my mom got to see my first goal against Oliver Kahn and Karlsruhe. So
nice.
That was pretty damn cool too.
He scored 21 goals in Saarbrücken. That's a lot, dude. In only 61 games?
Yeah.
Why did they let you leave?
No, so, wow. I broke my leg 9 games into that season, and that was the war. Bochum was a tough decision. It's different now, but it was a very blue-collar, tough place to go. It wasn't.
Bochum was in the Bundesliga when I was there, when I was in Germany.
Right, yeah, and then I broke my leg, and then Topmuller became the coach, and then we went straight back up from the second. We went down, and then we went back up. Just hard, just a hard mentality to try and, you know, for a guy like me, you know, I was trying to enjoy it. And the funniest story I can tell you is that there was a guy I played with named Thomas Stickrod, who was a really, like, good-looking, like, model-type guy. Played in Scotland, you know, he spoke perfect English. So he and I became friends in Saarbrücken. And Klaus Topmuller was trying to talk me into staying. And I wanted to go back because MLS was starting.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't do it. Don't go back. You should stay. You're making a mistake. We're going to be in the Champions League next year." Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was insane what he did. He took a team from the second division and finished fourth or fifth in the Bundesliga. And he says to me, What do you think about Thomas Stickrod? And I said, "Well, he's, you know, and now it's my buddy, so I'm afraid of what I'm going to say, right?" And he said, "Here's the scouting report. He smokes, he drinks, he chases women, and he's slow. What do you think?" And I said, he's not slow.
That's awesome. He's a good-looking bastard."
And so he goes, "I think he's going to work out here." And he ended up signing him. Thomas Stickrod was the voted by the players the player of the year. He played back then, we played with three in the back. He almost played like a sweeper that would just come right up the middle because he was always a number 10. But he was a tall guy. He was lanky, and he changed his position. He changed everything about that team, and he did it through Thomas Stickrod. And I remember thinking as a manager, that was a ballsy move to bring in a guy like that, like him, and be able to fit him into a completely different system and a completely new position and have the entire league in its entirety vote for him unanimously as the player of the year. I thought it was pretty cool.
Impressive.
I was going right. to, I wanted to, you talked about MLS and how you thought, you know, you're going or whatever, and then 96 starts and you do go. So how was that process coming back to the US, signing with MLS? eventually scoring the first goal in MLS history, all that whole, you know, I'm assuming it was kind of a whirlwind and nobody really knew what the hell was going on. But what was it like from your perspective?
How old were you guys at that point? I
was like not 11, I think. Yeah, 11.
Yeah. I was nine.
Wow. I mean, I think so. Wando and I talked about this once. He was in the stadium for that game.
Really?
What the coolest thing about it is that when you talk to him about how that inspired him to really go after it and be a pro, like that, just that game. And I didn't know Chris Wando. I didn't meet him until about 20 years later.
Yeah.
But that kind of moment was the reason why we all came back, like Tab and John and Lexi and Marcelo. It's why we wanted to be in Bernsey. I even put him in that list, man. We gave up a lot. We gave up a lot. I mean, I was making over $1 million in Bochum, and I came back for 175. So people don't remember that. They don't remember like the sacrifices that we went through just to, because we just couldn't not be a part of it. We had to be a part of yeah. the start thing. So, oh God, it was just so much stuff, guys. It's just, you guys have no idea what a great world you guys live in.
I have an idea and I would love to hear it. The dark days of 96 to.
Well, you don't. You really don't. It was really, really bad. There was just the, it's not just the gear or the stuff that made you wear. It was just the lack of understanding of what it took to be professional. I mean, and then me being a guy who's just been in the Bundesliga and been a part right. of massive, huge, like, you know, you got back then in 1992, the Germans were still the world champions. So they were the best team in the world. It was the best league in the world. And then to come back with a bunch of people learning on the fly and the frustrations that I had with the way we did things, just the timing of everything. You know, we had, the coaching was not subpar. I don't think the coaching was the problem. I think it was just the lack of understanding of what a professional environment looks like. So
was there like any infrastructure in place? Was that like a big issue? Because I mean, looking at the players, it's crazy. Like the disparity between the high quality players at the beginning of the league, because there were some really high quality players on the league.
I mean, you're passing
and then the low end, right? Where guys that would never play professionally.
He signed two guys in San Jose because they were in a Coca-Cola commercial.
That's what we need to hear. That's the story.
The better one is Lori Calloway and the GM flew down to Guatemala to watch Jorge Rodas play. Okay. Actually, they were trying to watch Jose Rodas play. And then they tried to sign Jorge's brother, but they got the names mixed up because they had a few too many in the stands and they couldn't remember. And they actually signed the wrong player. So, you know, God bless you, Peter Bridgewater, and God rest your soul. But damn it. I mean, we kept hearing about this number nine that was coming to play with me up top. And guess what? He showed up and he was a six. They had it upside down. It was terrible. Oh, it was literally the guy's brother. It was terrible.
Hey, Eric. I will tell you this, that was 96 or around then.
Mm-hmm.
When I played with New England, before I actually had come to New England, I heard stories that they signed, and I don't know how long Mike Burns was there before I came, but obviously you're close with Mike. But they signed an African player. Is it African or Caribbean kid? I can't remember.
Caribbean.
It was African.
I know where you're going with this.
Was it Caribbean? Like a Haitian yeah. kid maybe?
Yes.
And they signed the wrong kid.
Yes.
They signed the wrong kid. How? How do you sign the wrong kid? And they brought him in. And this guy, like, I think he had problems in New England too, like social problems and kind of being able to fit in. And he, like, he had some drawings. I hope I'm not like messing the story up because I heard it, you know, secondhand, but
better if we forget
drawings
this.
Where he hated people and like,
yeah.
And so it was, dude, it's like, what, how does this stuff happen? How do you make a mistake on mistaking one person from another in terms of signing and giving them a contract with real money?
Research this, because if we already know about it happening twice,
must've happened more than twice.
I mean, there's probably a few more. We're not going to have that GM conversation again, but I look in 96 and 7, so hard to be on the national team, guys. So hard to be, you know, the qualification process. There was no thought process whatsoever in the timing of the games. I mean, I played an international friendly okay, in St. Louis, I believe. And I think it was against Israel on a Sunday. I played Saturday for my club. I played two games in a row. Like, this is like U10, you know, soccer tournament. You know,
I mean, Nomads, like, Nomads tournament?
Yeah, it was unreal. It was just like
Surf Cup.
Really happening. No, I know. We need to fly you in, and then you need to play. I'm like, you guys realize that I remember.
With a flight in between.
it was unreal. I mean, like, if you go back and when I think it was McBride, I was working television. McBride came back to play with the national team on a Sunday in Seattle. And then we had a game on the first game of the year was Columbus against somebody. Okay, sorry if I can't remember. And Greg Andrulis was the coach. And I don't know where Brian was coming back from. I might have Fulham or maybe Everton. I can't remember. But he played on a Sunday for the national team. They demanded that he came back to get because they just signed him and they were all nervous about whether they could integrate him into the team. Nobody was patient, and they tried to throw him out there, and he played 90 minutes on a Tuesday night because Greg Andrulis thought he needed to be with, you know, to play with his new teammates. He strains his groin, and now we have a Saturday game. We're opening up the entire league, and Brian's not fit because of a nervous coach that didn't know how to manage a week, right? So they had to give the microphone to me, right? So now I'm standing there after the game's over with Greg Andrulis. And I'm, again, it's just year one or two in television. And I'm sitting here holding the camera. They send it down to me. I'm on the sidelines. And I said, well, ask the coach about Brian McBride. I said, okay, Greg Andrulis, coach, you know, not the result you've been looking for. Brian McBride, you know, maybe Tuesday was not the best idea to run him 90 minutes and expect too much out of him. The injury, you know, in hindsight being 2020, would you have changed things? No, he's paid to play and score goals for this club, and that's what we expect from him every game, 90 minutes, and blah, blah, blah. And I literally, on live TV, went like this. Try again. And he goes, what do you mean, try again? I said, hindsight being 2020, probably not a good idea. He said, well, yeah, of course. Now you're like, there you go. All right, back to you guys in the studio. I was like, you know, maybe I was a little bit brash, but then they turned the cameras off and he goes, what the hell was that? I said, what the hell was that? You want me to sit here and nod my head to that lousy answer? I said, get your act together, coach. Manage your team. That's your star player that you just hurt because you don't know what the hell you're doing, you know? Those are the kind of things that was me right out of the gates in television. Great stuff. Great. You know, wonderful stuff.
That's the stuff to hear of, right? Yeah, I know that's the stuff Ike loves to hear.
Yeah. I can't even right now. I can't even.
So we recently had Matt Beasley on the show, and we talked about he and longtime teammate Setsunovic's new venture with State Soccer. They have teamed up with a talented group to build a brand that represents soccer in America the way it deserves.
Yeah, and Matt sent us some gear last week, and honestly, we were blown away by the quality. These guys are truly building something special for the sport and its culture. So naturally, since BSI and States align so well, we are excited to announce they are now our official sponsor.
So this episode is brought to you by States, an athletic lifestyle brand building a revolution of American sport. Their goal is to be a leading lifestyle brand for soccer in America. They're building a brand that truly represents the beautiful game.
Yeah, and now they are offering 15% off with the discount code BSI to our listeners as part of the sponsorship.
Go check out their website at states.soccer. There's no .com. It's simply states.soccer. And their Instagram is definitely worth a follow at statesoccer. Go check them out.
Are you ready, Ike?
How many games I collectively probably commentated with you guys on the field? Had to be.
Quite a bit.
Do you think it was a lot?
Actually, so. Yeah. Probably at least 20. Probably Ike more than anybody.
Yeah.
And Ike's going to just keep on playing, dude. This guy's got years on years left.
Yeah.
All right, Ike. Well, are you ready for your interrogation, dude? Does anybody have any other questions?
What is the interrogation? Where are we going with this?
You'll see. You're screwed either way. Just
no, it's nice and easy this time around. But it's going to lead into the first question because you have watched a lot of us play. And since I'm going to remove myself from this question, question number one is, who had the more under-accomplished career between Sal and Benny?
Ooh, Sal. Sal. I think it was more in the tank for Sal. I still swear to God, Benny's goal in Chicago against Mexico is still one of my I could watch that all day, and I'm not even you. I mean, I love that goal. But, you know, I think Sal had a lot of moments in there. The injury knocked you back.
Yeah, injury for sure. That.
And for sure. I remember, I think it was your dad. I think
he was loud. You probably met him a few times.
Yeah, but we were in the stands talking about everything. Yeah. And I just, I got a really good feeling for your family and, mm-hmm. and I knew you were going through a tough time, and that's a tough place to play. Portland is not a tough place.
So. And I'll say this, dude, Sal came in like right out of the gates as a much, bigger player than into UCLA as a star. And I was just a walk on harder to maintain that. I feel like then when no one's paying attention to you and you can kind of come up slowly. So I had that benefit.
I mean, I went into a little wave going into Germany, and then had when you're young and you came from being, the shit, and you go to Hanover and you think you're going to play, and then you're like number 26 on the team. It's, it's tough to deal with that. And then at the very end, tearing the ACL, LCL, all that.
Injuries are the worst.
Yeah, injuries are the worst. It was different. Now I'm a different player.
Let me turn it on you, Sal. What did you enjoy playing the most?
Where?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, like on what team or position?
In MLS.
We all know what your answer is.
Yeah, dude. New York, Red Bull. Yeah, I would say with Jesse. Yeah.
I mean, I think
for sure.
You could tell that you were just, there's a, you're enjoying it. You had to bring back to your step. So there was,
and Chris Armas and Jesse, like those two guys, and Dennis was there. I mean, that whole crew that you know really well was there. And we had a really good group of guys with like Dax, Luis, Sasha, Lloyd, Sam, Bradley, Wright Phillips. These guys are all top class. Connor Lade. So it was a good group. It was a fun time for sure. Mike Grella, another one. Ooh.
That was easy. Come on, give me something rough.
Well, okay. Okay, we'll hop in with question number two. Worst co-commentator you have ever worked with?
Oh, wow. This isn't fair.
You said you wanted the heat.
Yeah, no.
After the spice.
Here's what happened.
Your own criteria. You can decide however you want to go about it.
And I love the guy, and he's the salt of the earth. But Brian McBride was not a good commentator, okay? I know I just brought him up, but there was this game.
I can't even remember McBride in commentating.
Oh, God.
I don't remember.
It was rough. So what happened was is we actually had Bruce Arena, myself, Rob Stone, and Brian. So we had to do the Seattle game, right? And they had this guy, what the hell was his name? It was like something Shits.
Ivan Shits.
Yeah, Ivan Shits, right? So I said, is this guy's name really Ivan Shits? He's like, what the hell is this guy's name? What do we say? Let's get a confirmation. Somebody call him. So now, we're getting ready for the show. And I said, what do you want to talk about? So I go, Bruce, well, maybe you should talk about Ziggy Schmidt. And then, Brian, you talk about, what do you want to talk about? And he said, well, I'm, and he can't say even Shits. He can't say it. He's like, I'm not saying that. I'm like, this is the guy's name. You got to say it. I'm not doing it, right? So I come out and I say it, right? And so Ziggy goes next. Bruce goes next and goes, well, I think Ziggy's got to do this and do that. And, he starts doing the Bruce, right? And we're running out of time, which I knew it was against it, because when you're at the end of that table and you got to get your thoughts together and you got to go and you got 6 seconds to get it out. So the first thing that Brian says, and I couldn't restrain myself, he goes, I think you're right, Bruce. Ziggy Shits. I mean, I fell off the table, right? I went like this. So Brian got so mad at me. He got so mad that I laughed at him. I was like, dude, you got to roll with it. It was just funny. I mean, you said Ziggy Shits. You didn't say none shits. It's our fault. We said even shits too many times. So he couldn't finish the damn show. And he was so mad at me. And I was like, come on.
I would have laughed too. For sure.
I kept saying, well, you shits yourself, and I didn't let it go. But I think, look, and the other part of that is there's so many guys that I really enjoyed working with.
Question three. You want a tougher one or a fan question?
Hit me. I'm good.
Actually, the fan question is pretty interesting.
All right.
So it's a start bench cut and kick out of the national team pool for these four players. Pulisic, Dest, McKinney, and Adams.
Ooh, I gotta drop one of them?
Completely out of the national team pool. And then you gotta cut one from your camp and then start and bench.
Well, we know who is his starter, as he answered in the beginning of the show.
But is he before?
Well, okay, so I'm gonna go with about us in a weird way. I bench Pulisic because I know that he can handle it. If I have to. And he can actually give you something off the bench. And then you keep – and who was the other – so was it Adams, McKinney, and
– Sergiño Dest,
yeah.
McKinney, and Adams.
Oh, that's an impossible question to answer. Guys, that's hard. That's a hard one.
It is a hard one.
You said that was a fan question, yeah. Dude. The fans are way more brutal than we are.
Yeah, but then they're just going to use your words against you. I've already been down this road. Yeah, all right. You answer that question, fan guy.
Wijnaldum cuts McKinney from the national team.
Wijnaldum benches Pulisic.
I'll cut Dest because I don't know him, and that's the only reason I have to do that.
You're cutting Dest, so who are you kicking out of the national team pool? Who doesn't even deserve to be there?
Okay, so that's Dest, and then I have to cut. I have to cut McKinney or Adams. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
McKinney
can be cut from the national team. He's playing at Juve for now, so he can take a chill pill.
He'll be fine. Okay, that's a fair point. But I'm,
hey, Vinny, this isn't your room, by the way. This guy just interjects nonstop in all the interviews.
Collaborative effort. Let's go.
Yeah, he was phoning a friend, dude.
I was told that I was allowed to give a fifth. Yeah, I'm pleading the fifth of this one. I don't want to cut any of those guys.
You answer the question. Now you're going to plead the fifth?
That's how I work, man. I was never here.
Love it. Oh, gosh. All right, question four. Since you've kind of hinted at, you know, jobs you would like in MLS, but which group of players currently – in MLS or on the team, would you want to manage today?
Current squad?
Yeah. Like, what group do you like? I would love to have the dream of managing this for whatever reason. Maybe they're a bunch of the weight guys or
condescending, but managing any of those teams would never be a dream. Okay. So that I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but a dream would be,
But of MLS.
Out in the second division in Germany and then being put in charge of Schalke and then doing a good job for 2 years and somebody at Bayern thinking you can do it.
Right.
But in this context. I think the challenge that Barcelona has right now is interesting. It's really interesting. And I know some of those guys. So I think I would have a pretty good shot at that. But I think there's some interesting players in there. And I would love to get someone like Chicharito, I don't shy away from those kind of situations. And I know that there's something that I can help him with, whether it's taking something off of his plate or making him think in a different way. I would go with the Galaxy. And then I get to play against Bob. Oh man.
That would be must watch television
in the 16th El Trafico of the season.
They got to change the name on that deal. But I think if you look at all the players that have played in Major League Soccer, the real question is which guy would you want to, out of all of them, would be probably the biggest challenge. It's got to be Zlatan. It's got to be Zlatan.
And you think you could tame him?
Nobody can tame that guy. He's in a delusional lion that's
but that's what also makes him as good as he is, because he's so out there.
Let's just go to fantasy world. That's great. Right. I only have to do it for about an hour and a half a day, so that's fine. Yeah. I'm not going to follow him on Instagram or all that other stuff. And some of that stuff is just unbelievable, just the arrogance of it all. The whole you're welcome. I just it's so far gone. It's so far over the top that it's accepted. We just kind of go, yeah, okay.
Everyone laughs at it or.
Yeah, I didn't like the way he acted a couple of times with players. I mean, that's just not the way you act. I remember playing with Stoichkov, who was really difficult. And DeMarcus Beasley was very young. And we had a game where Dennis Hamlet can tell you this story. It's pretty funny. And I remember it was a Sunday game because of Univision, right? So Stoichkov was playing at altitude in Colorado, and he wasn't fit enough to be in altitude. So every time DeMarcus would make a bad pass, it was, and he was just showing off for the cameras, right? But he was killing DeMarcus. DeMarcus actually gets the ball, beats his guy, and he should have crossed it. And literally Stoichkov goes in the corner for like 20 seconds, just really embarrassing DeMarcus, right? And DeMarcus, I think, was maybe 17, 18 at the time.
Yeah.
Pretty young, right? So we played the next game in Miami, and Stoichkov and I started up top. And there was a play where somebody kind of lost their footing, and I put him in, and he was on his right foot. And he kind of got, you know, I'm wide open. Just square it. I'm good. I got a goal, right? And he shoots with his right foot. And he misses it really bad, right? And Stoichkov, typical, arrogant, sorry. And I remember looking at him, well, that's it? That's it? That's it? So I sat on the plane with Bob on the way back the next day, and I said, somebody's going to talk to this guy. He says, I strongly would suggest you don't do that. And I said, no, we got to talk to this guy. So I had Dennis prepare the chance in Colorado and the chance in Miami. And Jesse may have been there. I know Jimmy was there. And I know Kovalenko was there. And I sat him down and I said, hey, Stoichkov, I want to show you something. Come here, because, you know, English, Spanish, whatever, he speaks Spanglish today. And I showed the tape of DeMarcus. And he goes, impossible. He must play ball to me. He must play me. I am Hristo Stoichkov. And I said, yeah, I know. But he would call himself Christo, by the way. I'm Hristo Stoichkov. You must play ball to me. And I said, okay, I agree with you because you're there. And he was a late, typical late run. Maybe there's no way DeMarcus could have seen him. But I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing? You're embarrassing the hell out of all of us. Well, I am angry. I am Hristo Stoichkov, and I am angry. I said, well, we don't have time for that. You can't do that. Let's show the other one. So I play the tape. He looks at it and he gets really quiet, right? Because it's so obvious. He's got to pass the ball, right? And he goes, I don't go to see you. I go, what's that? He goes, I don't go to see you. I said, you're Hristo Stoichkov. You don't go to see me? I don't see you. You don't see me. You don't see me. I don't see you. I don't see you. I said, okay, you're Hristo Stoichkov. And you didn't see me. And he goes, yes. And I said, then don't even ask that 17-year-old kid to see you. And don't you ever do that again on this team. I got really angry. And he just went like this. And I would look over it. I think it was Dennis. I thought Dennis was going to pee his pants. And Risto goes, okay. Okay. And I go, okay, 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 okay. We shake hands and he walks.
I say the same word like 8 times in a row.
Okay, okay. Oh yeah, Chris Paul. I am Chris Paul. But it was an important point I'll never forget that Chris Paul was better the rest of the year about not being an ass. And that little part that we were all afraid of what he was capable of, or what he would, how angry he would get, or how condescending he would get, or whatever he was capable of doing, because he was one of the greatest players that ever played the game. He has every right to tell us that we suck. But I just didn't want him to do it to kill that kid, Beasley, because there was something there and we needed him too. So it was the first time I ever felt like I was the first step of management, you know, because right. You really wanted the team to be better. And I knew that Novak was just going to go, I'm not going to talk to him. He's crazy. I just, ah. You know, and so there was a moment there where I got to, you know, really kind of deal with a really high profile, big personality who just needed to be challenged. I knew, and the guy's got a beautiful heart. I mean, what happened in DC is really sad because it was a bad moment and he hurt a kid pretty bad. But Hristo Stoichkov was a great player and a great guy. And we just needed him to be better in that moment. So it's like when you ask me about managing and what I love figuring out what makes guys tick and how they can figure out a way to be better human beings in the process. That's always going to be the difference.
Strange how talking about Zlatan made you think of that story.
But Zlatan, hey, oh my God. I think about the biggest personalities that have played in our league. And those two definitely, I mean, then you got guys like Pirlo who just didn't care. I mean, he was just like, oh, how are you?
Yeah.
And you had people like Marco Echeverri who, or Valderrama who were just complete lightning rods as people and as players. So I always, I'm fascinated by how many different players. Are you getting pressure from the wife? I know that look right there that you just, somebody just said, are you done yet? What's going on? Why is that guy?
No, I didn't know if you guys heard it. My kids are like screaming upstairs, but no worries. My wife's got it. My wife's got it on lockdown. Three girls, five and under. It's all good.
Yeah. The only thing I heard for you, Benadryl.
The only thing I heard from your story is you saved DeMarcus Beasley's career and Novak was scared of Stoichkov. That means that he was crazier than Novak, which is also wild. So.
No, Novak wasn't scared of anybody. He just went to a point where, you know, my first game, I walked in and those two were drinking. It was May 5th, so it was Cinco de Mayo. It was my first game and I scored a goal for the Chicago Fire as a substitute. And I walk into the locker room, see everybody's happy, whatever. And you go into the showers and Stoichkov and Novak are both smoking and drinking tequila in the locker room. And Stoichkov looks at me and goes, hey, and Novak goes, happy Cinco de Mayo. Hey, welcome to Chicago. And I was like, what the hell did I just get into?
Oh, God.
Those guys were blood brothers.
Yo. So question five. So we've talked about how, you know, much you're into coaching and how you want to make that career moving forward. And you wish you had started earlier. So you've clearly analyzed a bunch of coaches in MLS, I'm sure. So if you were still playing, which coach would you love to play for in today's MLS, aside from like Bob and coaches you've already played for? What's the manager that you think would be the guy for you and why?
That's a good question. My answer is probably going to surprise you. I think there's something to the whole Jaap Stam thing.
Really?
I played against him. I thought he was an amazing player. There's such an interesting – that's the kind of guy that I don't know. I would really enjoy the back and forth and the push and pull. And, you know, I think that that's one of the guys that I would be almost as a player as a little bit more of a sponge, you know, to try and – you know, I hate to make analogies that, you know, bring war into this, but I mean, sometimes you look at the general, you know, the guy that's lived through numerous wars and he's still alive. Those are the people you want to know how they did it. How did you survive? I mean, I might have an arm and I, you know, I may have an eye patch, but I'm still here. And there's not that the Upstom is that ugly. But There's a part of that where there's some when I always want to learn, and I always, as a player, I would feel that I'd probably get a lot out of conversations and or just listening and paying attention to things that Jaap Stam might say. I think there's something there.
I think if you went there though, you'd be playing as a nine as a sweeper though, because that's all they do is defend. So. You'll enjoy defending as opposed to scoring.
And it would be a lot of fun watching a coach try to convince me to defend. There's been like 12 of them who have tried.
That's the push and pull, Benny, that he would
enjoy. I don't go back there. I remember Tab used to say that to me. He goes, you got to come back and help us. I go, shut up. You'll be hugging me in 10 minutes. And then there was always, you know, I was a difficult teammate at times because, you know, when I was done chasing, you know, I played with Joe Max Moore. Joe Max Moore would chase a ball back in the bush and back out again, and he'd just keep going. You know, he would never stop. And he'd do all the work, and I would just sit there and wait for that moment to just, when everybody's looking the wrong way, to get open. And I'd score. And I never forget all the hugs where he would be panting, like going, you son of a bitch, you scored again. I go, thank you for all the running, because it was all you, Joe. You're not going to be on the score sheet, but you really did a great job on that play. But that's just the player that I became. But you know what's funny? And it's not even funny. I'll test all of you guys. 106 times for the U.S. national team. How many times did I get to play in the forward position out of the 106?
You're asking me to guess?
Yeah.
Now that you're posing it like that, I would have said probably all of them.
But I'd guess at least 80, maybe 70.
I would guess.
I was gonna say less
because
than
because
now.
Of because of how you're posing the question, I would say like half of it, 50 maybe.
49.
There we go.
Now
I played, no, what position did you play?
Right back. I played left back in the 1990s.
Yeah, really?
There's a reason why I got red carding.
Wow.
We would get in situations where, I mean, when we played through the qualifiers, we started off great. And then Steve Sampson, this is where he became the other Steve Sampson, put me on left midfield, right midfield. I played left back because Jeff Agus got red carded 26 minutes into the Mexico game in Azteca. And it was my job to chase El Matador around. Think about the stupidity of that. I almost threw up twice. I mean, it was... But I, you know, the stat that bothers me and the reason why I'm bitter is I had 34 goals out of 49 games. I never scored from the midfield or at any other position.
Wow, that's interesting.
When I was a forward. So when you look at it and you start saying the what if I would have had 57 more opportunities to play forward, that's where you get pissed off. That's where you start saying, you know what, Gansler, Bora, what the hell is that? You know, I mean, I was a forward that never really got to play. Bruce was like, I'm not putting you anywhere else. You kidding me? You can't even run. Just stay up there. Stay as far away as you can from our goal. That was like his plan. It was great. And
I like just had this thought in my head. You've my favorite part so far of the interview hasn't even been your answers. No offense. It's been all your voices that you've done. You've done Bruce, Bob, Christo. You've done Peter, Novak. Tell me, do you have anybody else that I would love to hear?
Frank Caliendo over here.
Who's somebody else? Can you do a Jurgen? I would love you doing a Jurgen.
Well, I can do a Jurgen, but it takes time. It takes practice.
let me hear your best version right now with no practice.
No, I can't do that.
You can even throw a little Alf Gates mana. You can do whatever you want.
Jurgen was... actually always a really good friend to me. My phone rang, guys, at 8 o'clock in the morning in San Jose after the first inaugural game. I picked it up. I was like, who the hell is calling me? Back when people actually had house phones. And it was Jurgen, you know? And he goes, congratulate you for your good. It's very good. And I was like, what the hell is that? You know, I mean, who is this person? I don't even know who this is. And he goes, it's Jurgen. Come on. And I'm like, okay, sorry. I didn't know it was you. But I appreciate him. I appreciate him a lot more. I think he was way before his time. I think he could have, if you look at what's been implemented now, it's always the same. I mean, look at what Germany did after he left. Look at what the United States is about to do through Germany after he left. It's all kind of weird how that works. I don't know. I don't know who else I can do. I can do my teammates.
Can you do a Peter?
Hermes?
Yeah.
By the way, you're officially off the hot seat, so you can now go home or go to sleep if you'd like.
With Peter, you got to make your chin two times as big as it.
He does do that look a lot. You're right.
That's a Peter.
Oh, man. Too bad this is a podcast, so nobody will be able to hear
the video version. We got the video version.
Yeah, true, the video version.
I think when we used to, just so you, I mean, you guys ever remember Martin Vasquez?
Yeah, of course.
I used to,
the guys would tell you this in the late 90s, or mid 90s, I would do the meeting before the meeting. So we all knew that 20 minutes before the meeting, I would go up and all the guys would sit in there and I would pretend to be Steve Sampson and the team meeting before. This is the national team. We're like playing in World Cup qualifiers. And up there I go, hey, we must. Yeah. And I'm doing all this stuff. Like, so I was like, I need you here. Like, it was stupid stuff that he would say. And there's no way that he could get through. If we had to play against like Colombia. He wouldn't be able to just say Valencia or Asprilla. He would have to say, so when Asprilla gets the ball, you must protect Valencia. And it was like, come on, dude, shut up.
That's why he went to Costa Rica after.
Yeah, no, but it would drive us crazy. So I did this whole skit. You guys, I don't know if you remember Dr. Mandelbaum. You remember him?
He did my surgery, yep.
All right, so you're
he's another guy you could probably imitate.
You're going to be okay.
You're always going to be okay, right?
And then they're in the room, right? And he's like this. Looks like it's a severely torn ACL period. It's going to be probably a 6 to 8 week. hey, did you meet my dog? And he's just like, what is that? So I do this impersonation of Steve Sampson trying to talk to Martin Vasquez about an injury. So Martin's inclusion in that was like, because it actually happened. So I did this in front. We used to do what was called, Tony Miola started it, and then it became a thing with late night with the national team. So we would do this thing where the rookies would be, this is their initiation. But I was like, player says he can play. Can he play? Yeah, is it a pull or is it a tear? Yeah. That would be Martin. All he ever did. Yeah. Yeah. It's hurt. Player thinks he can play. Must move. Yeah. Martin, all he ever said, and the whole time I was there, yeah. I never heard him talk.
Yeah, he was my Chivas USA coach. Those were the times.
And he whispers to you.
He's almost too nice.
Guys, we must play. Yeah. Nothing. I never heard him say
Eric. Eric, I feel like I've taken way too much of your time, dude. I feel bad for your kids, so I don't want to like keep you here forever.
They're asleep.
Are they asleep?
You guys are rookies, man. I got six. You know, it's.
Are they really asleep? No, they're not. You're not asleep at 9 o'clock.
That 5-year-old has come out of that room 4 times and looked at me like, "Where? What are you doing?"
I'm saying.
All right, the death stare.
Look, you're like I said, you're officially off the hot seat. You literally answered every. No, actually, you missed
no,
one.
I didn't. Yeah.
Do we not have to answer one from him then?
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Do not have
on, to. Give me one tough. Because
you know, he already answered all five.
Yeah. Well, no, he played the fifth on the.
The one stuff. He answered.
Yeah. He said, "Give me one tough one." That's what he just said, though.
Oh, I heard that, but now I've closed the app out. Like, and I can go find it.
Danny, right, you can think of a hard one off the top of your head.
Oh, I had one that was like, which coach? Since you love coaching, which coach is full of it?
Just a
in
fraud?
The press. Just yeah, complete.
Oh wow.
In current MLS.
Oh, in current so, MLS?
Yeah, yeah. You sure you want to answer this?
that's a tough one. I'll go back to Almeida. Look, I'm not believing it.
Not buying it. Dude. Not buying the man-to-man marking.
Me and Ike are believers, dude. Aren't you, Ike?
I mean,
we all make mistakes. That's fine.
When they get rolling, they get rolling. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, but and then there's, you know, I think that the goal is players, guys. The only thing we want to know is to be prepared to what we're going to do out there and not get caught off guard and be able to be ourselves when we play. But really, when you change the script, you know, so many times, it's guys will feel like they're getting the rug pulled out from underneath them, and That's the challenge of management, you know, is when it's not always about marrying yourself to a system, but sticking to principles that you can teach that the team understands. That's always going to be the secret. I don't know. I very seldom do I watch games and analyze. It was my job to analyze where I get confused and the principles that I don't think they exist in some of that stuff. And you're going to get beat. I think coaches should be judged on how easy they are to figure out and how they can't make in-game or be prepared to make in-game alterations. And you, if you can do it and your team is prepared to do that, there's nothing better than be able to right. switch straight up. You go a 3-4-3 and then all of a sudden you've flipped it, you've overloaded a side and it looks more like a 3-5-2 and the other team can't figure it out. They just can't figure it out. And one guy's screaming at another guy, I need more help. And we're just punishing somebody. That's I don't see the ability to, I think when you marry yourself to a system in the way that they have, and you can't really, you're just relying on the 50-50, you know, the one-on-one battle. And then, so who's going to win today? Yeah. That's ancient stuff, man. That's not coaching. That's not teaching. That's just, you know, picking a fight. All right. Just me.
Yeah. Appreciate it, dude. I mean, it's always fun talking to
when
you.
When are we playing golf? That's the real
question. You've asked me this question several times over the last few years.
You canceled last time. You said you couldn't do it.
I've never canceled. I've always I've always said I'm open this day. I am in California, and I'm willing to play some golf whenever you get a chance. Let me know. You got my
number. Have you ever played Angeles National?
Hey guys, you can take this off episode now.
But before we get into this conversation, let me thank you for the podcast and end the podcast. So thank you.
Let's stay in touch and be well. Be safe. These are trying times for all of us, but just be smart and make good decisions.
Yeah, and good luck to, you know, whatever comes your way next, bro. I obviously always look in anticipation to see what's going on with you and where you're going to end up.
You'll be the last to know.
Cool.
Thanks for coming on, Eric. Appreciate it.
You didn't even catch that. I said you're going to be the last to know.
I thought you said I was going to be the first to know.
You'll find out on Twitter.
Thanks, Eric, for coming on the show. That was interesting. This guy's done it all, bro. And now he's looking to, I mean, get into coaching, obviously. But I mean, it's crazy. Like what this guy's played. Start that over, bro. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
3, 2, 1.
Thanks, Eric, for coming on the show. That was something, dude. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was great. I thought, you know, obviously he gives very honest answers and, you know, elaborates on lots of stories. And you had a lot of stories from his playing career and some stories from, you know, from coaching and some of his regrets. And it was pretty interesting for sure.
Yeah, a great guest to wrap up our finale. Is that what we're going to call
right,
this?
Dude.
No, uncertain times.
What's the word? Our hiatus taking. No, obviously, you know,
just first to wrap up things, the month, guys.
Right, right. Well, yeah. Eric, I think, was a great guest for us to take our break. As most of you know, like I mentioned in a couple podcasts, I took the assistant coaching job at UCLA. And along with that, I'm doing some college courses to try and finish school, and I'm doing the B license. So I'm going to be a bit busy in the next 3 or 4 months. And so I do want to kind of put that in the focus. Front seat,
yeah.
And focus. Yeah. And just kind of see how I do with that, where I'll have time scheduling wise, and then we'll kind of get back into it and find some time to end season 2 throughout the remainder of the MLS regular season. But we'll take a month off and kind of regroup and find some guests and come back strong for the end of the season.
Yeah, you guys will. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, dude. We'll see you guys in a month. I hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.